1515 now probably presents the Wrestling Roundtables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, didn't like, and what was just flat out horrendous. It is your favorite tag team partners, me, Sterl the Pro.
It's Miller.
Raw took place in the D.
Detroit.
Going down in the D.
It's so cold in the D.
Yeah, that's how it went.
What is it? Oh, man, I forget how it go, too.
It's so cold in the D.
How can we ever have peace or something like that?
Yeah, it was crazy, man. I mean, that's so wacky.
Hey, shout out Snapdog, though. If y'all ain't up on Snapdog, shout out Snapdog. Look him up. That's the dude. That's the homie. Bronco gang. T Grizzly.
I know what T Grizzly is.
I fox with T Grizzly. That's my dog.
But that song was whack.
Which one?
The one we were just singing.
Oh, yeah, the cold in the deep.
Yeah. So cold in deep.
It was like a chick, right? She's outside, and oh, man. That's the one of the first viral videos.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, technically. Because people shitted on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, you got the Detroit Pistons.
Red Wings. Tigers. Lions. Ain't no Bears. Oh, my.
Yeah. Well.
Big Sean. Eminem.
Who can't get right. Big Sean just can't get right, though.
He's good. He's Gucci, though. She said there ain't no problems, though.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. They both came out and was like, it didn't happen. What is you talking about?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes, man, people get carried away,
her
man.
Her name was T-Baby.
And you don't even 10 know.
10 years ago.
I don't know. And plus, you don't even know what their situation is. Like, that's the other thing I'm going to say. Before people go out and start assuming that people's on that ratchet stuff, this dude's really playing it.
Yeah.
The beat's a little smooth, though. I ain't gonna lie.
Look. Oh, this is one of the most ghetto videos you ever see, too. Because it starts off with them walking in the cemetery.
Yeah, there
you go. That's how it goes. So go to the D. How the fuck are we supposed to keep peace? Man.
And it's the opposite, though, when it's hot. You know what 50 said? Remember, he was like, it's hot outside. That's a good enough reason. I know Chicago, yeah. That's all it takes.
Right.
When it hit them 80s, baby. When it hit the 80s, it's a wrap.
For real.
All that hanging out outside? Yeah, buddy. Unless you live in a good neighborhood, all that hanging out, kicking it? Nah. That's a wrap.
Still, nothing like summertime shy. I tell people that all the time. Anyway. Well, it's good. Well, Big Sean got his shit together. Janae Aiko, you know she's free. She, like, her booty ate, like, groceries, so.
Okay.
I get down.
I mean, her and Big Sean is linked up. That is, it's not going to happen. She said they're Gucci. They good.
All right. Well, shit, you know.
Plus, you don't know what people are nowadays. He might have been. She might have sent him to go. She was like, "Go do what you got to do. Get her back here." You don't know what happened. People gotta stop assuming. You don't know what people's lifestyle is. She could have sent dude on a mission.
Yeah. Yo. Then he might as well get on bending knee right now because
that's right.
He ain't gonna find another.
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you that.
Then again, you might, man. They out here.
That's true.
Gotta try hard.
That's true.
They ask the right questions.
No, I think women are very aggressive nowadays.
If you're a good dude, I think so too.
Just my experiences.
Yeah. All right, that's a different podcast.
Right. But, anyway, moving on. Master Watch for?
I got two, actually. Last week was, last Friday was Dalton Castle versus Jay Lethal for the ROH World Championship at the 16-year anniversary show, which, by the way, was a really good show. Dalton Castle came out on top. We later on found out that at Supercard of Honor is going to be Dalton Castle against Marty Scurll for the World Championship. But regardless, Jay Lethal, Dalton Castle, really good match. It had like a throwback ROH feel as far as the big fight feel, without having to have a huge storyline. Just knowing that these are two dudes at the top of their game, you know, and Jay Lethal, he hasn't taken an L in a long time. And all that time it was to build to get the title shot. And that's what I love about the underlying storylines, you know. And then second was, Zack Sabre Jr., this past Tuesday. I believe it was. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Tetsuya Naito by submission. By submission. I'll say that again. In the New Japan Cup tournament. It was a really, really good match. And a win that I didn't see coming at all. Like that, I was like, what? but awesome nonetheless. So, kudos to both of them. Well, all four of them for their great matches this weekend.
Yeah. All right. That's it?
Yeah, there are two matches to watch for, sir.
All right.
Okay. You want news and rumors now?
Yeah, I do. I want news and rumors.
All right. So.
That's what I was waiting for.
I'm going to just jump straight to it. Fabulous Moolah on Monday was announced that she would be the basically the namesake of the annual women's battle royal at WrestleMania.
And somebody called that. I don't know if it was you that said it or if it was EJ or Jay Fields.
Okay.
When we was doing the GTS podcast. Or somebody called it.
Battle Royal. Well, in any event, that caused a lot of people to go into an uproar. Reason being, and I'm not going to go super deep in it because I don't know all the details, but Fabulous Moolah has a questionable past that I've always kind of been aware of where, you know, she hasn't treated trainees correctly, taking money from them, kind of blocked people from getting into the industry. There's been allegations of her prostituting some of her students when they were really not underage young, but younger. You know, just a lot of, like, she wasn't... there's always been stigmas about her, you know, going way back. I remember in the 90s people saying stuff about her. And that was me as a kid. I remember reading different dirt sheets and stuff that, you know, some of the wrestling buddies I had from, like, their dads and stuff. So if you want to look it up about the Fabulous Moolah allegations, but they're out there, they've happened. Needless to say, so people were in an uproar about it. And so much so that WWE earlier today, on Thursday, they actually changed the name and dropped Fabulous Moolah's name from the tournament. And now it's going to be, or from the Battle Royal, I'm sorry. And now it's going to be just the women's WrestleMania Battle Royal.
Yeah, I say so.
Yeah,
I say why change it? Why change the name? Why? For what?
Who because cares? No,
you know why?
Okay,
because didn't they just let what's the guy's name? Can't think of it. Promoter from Puerto Rico or whatever.
Victor Quinones. Oh, you talking about Colon?
Yeah,
I agree.
Just let him in the Hall of Fame. Two years ago.
And there's lots of questions about Bruiser Brody.
I'm just saying
with that. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's my take on
Steve Austin. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Come on.
The only thing I'll say about that, and I'm not calling you ignorant when I say this. Read some of the things. I'm just saying, I didn't go into super detail about it because, you know, it is what it is. But I just want you to read some of the things, and then if you still feel the same, cool.
I do. I don't feel differently. I mean, okay. She pimped out her what's name. She was getting that money. She was after the bag. She was going for the bag.
But it's not cool,
bro. We started saying, oh, okay. It's not cool. So, look.
But I get what you're saying about not changing. Stick with what you've been doing.
Yep.
My thing is with WWE, it's all backwards. But here's my problem. It's backwards as hell because you'll put this person, Fabulous Moolah, and I'm not taking away anything from her for what she's done for women's wrestling. As far as the positive side, you'll take her and put her namesake on the or name on the Battle Royal, but China can't get in because if kids search her, you know, they'll find porn. And, you know,
but you know, I don't agree with that anyway.
No, I know you don't. But so my point is this. Yeah. The reason why people were pissed off was because you don't make sense.
Yeah.
You do one thing and then say another.
Well, I think it was just because it was reactionary. I think if they just stuck to their guns, I mean, then you're still consistent with what you're doing.
True, but
kind of picking and choosing who you feel like you want to have.
But then again, you're not because it's okay. So you're PG.
No, what I'm saying.
You cut Chris Benoit out of everything, but you don't cut her out of stuff.
No, this is what I'm saying. They are being consistent because they're showing us
consistently being a douche. Okay,
yeah, they're showing us for a very long time. They're going to pick and choose who they want to go in.
True.
Go in or who they want to name stuff after, who they want to sit there and back despite whatever
BS they have going on. Right. Back. Yeah.
True. They just pick and choose. The China thing, I think it's more than the porn. I think it's the parody.
I think it's the Stephanie thing. All the way, bro. I don't care what nobody says. I swear I think it's the Stephanie thing.
But I think it's the parodies is what I'm saying. The porn parodies she was doing. Like, I mean, that people search that, then they see the porn parodies of the McMahons and stuff like that. And, you know, that.
Okay, because you're not going to see it anyway. Like, come on.
Then
take Sunny out of the thing then. I know she didn't do a parody, but she did a porn for the same company. Take her ass out. And she's been arrested.
See what I'm saying?
But that's what I mean, though. I'm so glad that it was enough of an uproar of people calling them out on their BS that they finally did something about it. Like, okay. You know what I mean? Because let's be honest. God rest his soul, because I don't want to talk about anybody dead. But Warrior has some... He was out there with some of the shit he would say. He was kind of like, whoa, bro, you are not cool.
I mean, allegedly... Andre the Giant was racist. I mean, but they...
True. And I'm not here to argue.
They ignore those
apples and oranges. Exactly.
But I just think... I mean, I just feel like they should ignore it all around, though. I mean, but I think it's just one of those things. But China is one of those things where... And I'm not on board with it, but I know why they're keeping her out. That stuff. I feel like it's bogus. I feel like it's fucked up and they need to let her in and stuff. I don't think it's anything about, oh, kids going to search her and they're going to find porn. Yeah, they're going to find parody porns that she was doing on the McMahons. That's what they want. Don't want kids to start searching. But whatever, man.
But then again, that's annoying to me. Right, but that's annoying to me too, only because you can't get mad, Vince. You pitched the damn storyline at one point where Stephanie McMahon was having your baby. You're a weirdo. So stop it. Like, you cannot do that.
That shit was crazy.
Yes, bro. Too much.
That was nuts. I don't know what Vince was thinking.
Shit.
He was off his damn rockers. He should have been drug tested. As soon as he pitched that storyline, he should have been drug tested. His wife should have divorced him. His kids should have started looking at him funny, like, I don't know about that, Pops. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, I'd have been looking at my dad sideways, like, oh, I don't know, dog. I don't care. This is just wrestling. This is just a show. what you're pitching right now, it sounds fucking nuts. But yeah. I don't know, man. I just wouldn't. Stick to your guns. Look. Just keep that same energy. I'm like Charlamagne, man. When you say... Keep that same energy. Don't change it. Let me know who you are.
True. I guess. I just think it's BS. And I'm glad that they changed the name. Yeah. Moving on. Speaking of WWE, Rich Swann, after all the backlash that he got, he actually canceled dates and is going to retire, so to speak. I don't know if he's just going to take a hiatus, but I mean, people were basically speaking out on how promoters could book him still. My only problem with that is that his wife... She keeps saying over and over he's harmless and trying to explain that they had a crazy situation, and I get it. I feel like he lost his job, bro.
Look,
you won. Like, just let the dude try to pick it up and figure it out. If his wife is willing to forgive it and says it was a situation, I feel like at some point people have to let a dude try to be a better person and show.
Plus, man, he never said that he was trying to cause harm.
Right.
And stuff. I mean, she sat there and she did her thing, called the police and stuff. He gave his side of the story and that was it. And stuff. So we don't know. We just don't know. And shit. Because look, don't try to act like there ain't no crazies out there.
Mm-hmm.
And shit. I mean, I feel like if he didn't put hands on her and stuff like that, and she caused this backlash now, I would have left it. Me personally, I'm like, nah, I can't fuck with you no more. We can't rock on that level because you're crazy. And shit. Like, honestly, that's what I would have done. Because you can't be around people like that, man. Were they destroying your career and shit like that? Now the dude felt like he forced to retire because... Although he's probably been getting some bookings, he probably wasn't getting the bookings that he really wanted.
I mean, well, to be honest, it was crazy. I would have ran through all my bookings because he was booked all the way. They said, like, I want to say to May. Like he had the juice.
Yeah.
Who well, wasn't gonna, you know, it's Rich Swann, man.
Like, yeah. Rich Homie Swann.
Look, I see Rich Homie Swann live. I love, that dude could go.
Yeah, and I would have definitely took those dates and just, man, whatever, get your money. Fuck these people.
Hopefully, you know, he just takes a little hiatus and then he'll come back and, you know.
Hopefully, he do something about that damn hair, too, when he does.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that. That shit look weird and crazy. It just, like, shave that beard and whatever.
Don't like his beard either.
Everything. Just, no.
All right. Well, last but not...
Get the damn tooth fixed.
He's Nas now. Last but not least, Austin Aries appeared on the 16-year anniversary show with all the belts, including the Impact title, and said, you know, I'm a belt collector, and I'm here to collect your television title, Kenny King. For those that don't know, Austin Aries used to be, like, kind of the mentor of Kenny King and Rhett Titus, who's part of the Dawgs now in ROH, and they were, like, kind of a trio together, so kind of circles back to that storyline of how Austin Aries helped him become who he is. The thing that people are asking is, are ROH and Impact Wrestling working together? They're not. The way ROH viewed it was just that, you know, Austin Aries, because he's not signed to an exclusive deal with Impact Wrestling, he's available, and they wanted to use him. He's good friends with Delirious, who's the head booker, and they were like, cool. And Impact doesn't have a problem. They didn't have a problem with him showing the belt on TV. They thought it was actually helpful that it was on ROH. ROH doesn't care that he has it because he's the belt collector as part of his persona. Hey, is wrestling promotions actually being logical for once and not petty as hell? Like, I don't care if you show him the belt.
WWE is a lot bigger than that.
No, I agree. I understand. But even when, in WWE's point, I understand why they don't necessarily, but people have showed up with, like, the Progress belt, so it's happened. ECW showed up with it. But I like when indie promotions work together and they're not on this holier-than-thou thing. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Impact's on wrestling is on TV.
I think the real criticism is WWE actually working with other promotions and intertwining them into their brand.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what WWE steer away from for whatever reason.
Yeah, they'll have you show up and they only let you do so much if you're a champion somewhere else. And it's like, that's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
And then they don't want their challengers to lose and whatever. And like, then it becomes a,
right.
Like, just stay away from it. You know, look, I hate WWE doesn't do it, but at the same time, there's a silver lining. I'm glad that they don't try to do it because it's always going to fail when your person is always going over.
Yep. Agree. That's my news and rumors, though.
All right. Well, then, quick hit sign.
Quick hit!
Like I said, Raw took place in Detroit. And then we open up the show with Kurt Angle talking about how Brock ain't there again and stuff like that. And Roman Reigns interrupts, confronts... Kurt Angle says, like, no, fuck this. Like, this dude he doesn't respect anybody. He doesn't respect Detroit. If he respected Detroit, he would have been there and stuff like this. And so he was pissed. He goes to the back and he goes off on Vince McMahon, which led Vince McMahon to pull Roman Reigns off to the side, take him to his office, suspended him, and guaranteed Brock Lesnar will be on Raw the following week or whatever. And thus, them going with the storyline of keeping them away from each other and stuff. I like that. I actually do. Sasha Banks gets her victory back over Sonya Deville. Then the Raw Tag Team Division is attacked. Raw Tag Team Champions attack the Raw Tag Team Champions, Sheamus and Cesaro. Later on, they're going to have a Battle Royal for somebody to be the number one contenders, number one contender for the title. So we'll find out who that is later. Then you got John Cena asking The Undertaker for one more match. Yeah. And Finn Balor defeats Seth Rollins in the Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal is announced for WrestleMania. Then Asuka defeats Mickey James when Alexa Bliss and Mickey James were trying to call Nia Jax out. Nia never came out, though, because Nia had a match the next right after that or whatever, and Nia defeat Joan King.
A jobber.
Yep. A jobber. Yeah, this might end up in my Raw Bad or Ugly. We'll see.
Don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised. Then we got Woken Matt Hardy revealing the Woken family and showing off the Hardy compound where him and Bray will have their match.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Should have happened at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but whatever. They filmed it.
Yeah. It's whatever.
It's better. Hey, it's better than if they did what they did last year with Randy Orton and.
No, but that, what I would have did was put that on the pre-show.
Get people to watch it.
Yeah. That's what I would have did. And maybe they could even show it again if people miss.
Yeah.
Whatever. Then we got Braun Strowman. Yes, Braun Strowman won a tag team battle royal to determine Sheamus and Cesaro's WrestleMania opponent.
Show me my opponent.
Opponents. But. You still got time. The announcers were throughout the match saying, is this legal? Can he do this? Can he sit there and be just the only one and stuff like that? Does this even count? So they kept throwing that out there throughout the whole battle royal. So I would anticipate Braun Strowman getting a tag team partner at some point. Who or when? We shall find out. But, or if they even do. But anyway, go. That was Raw from Detroit. You're Raw, sir.
My Raw, Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins.
Ooh, hot tag.
Yeah. It was a really, really good match with a really good finish. I even like the setup. I like Miz, you know, trying to play the odds between them and kind of setting up the match.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Right. Well, yeah. And
Miz TV.
It wasn't like the best Miz TV ever, but it served its purpose in kind of setting up the match. But the match overall is just, oh my God. If they could just have a one-on-one match for the Intercontinental title, I'd be okay with that. Not taking away anything from Miz, but just the chemistry that those two have is just natural. Because it's not like they've wrestled each other a million times. It just works when they're together in the ring. But the way that Finn got the cradle pin out of the Falcon Arrow was so dope. So dope. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love the creative way that they ended that match. It didn't take anything from Seth. You know, he didn't look weak. And on the same hand, you had Finn who, you know, it was a hard-fought match. And still, he comes out on top. So it's kind of like that extra layer of, like, what does Seth got to do to beat Finn?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're kind of building towards. It's like, Finn's got his number.
See, I was going to make this my ugly, though. Not because of the match. Just simply off of where the match was placed. This shit should have closed the damn show. But I'm going to make something else my ugly. But that's why I was going to make it my ugly early on. Because I was just pissed at the fact that why this match didn't close out the show versus this damn battle royal and stuff. Because this match was just too damn good. And like you said, I liked it from start to finish. And I know some people are like, oh man, but it ended on the inside cradle. But the way it ended on that inside cradle and everything, it was like after they just exhausted each other out, period. They was hitting each other with everything that they got. Although we didn't see Bloody Sunday. But for the most part, we saw a huge part of their repertoire and shit from whatever skills Finn Balor has and Seth Rollins and stuff. And this was they were going back and forth. They was hitting some really good spots. But then Seth goes for the
Frog Splash?
No. I don't know if you call it a superplex or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he goes for the suplex off the second rope and then tries to go for the Falcon Arrow and then get rolled up in the cradle for the 1-2-3. I mean, it was such a great way to actually end that match. Because not only that, you're building something for the future. When they start really having matches and stuff like that. Because it's like, man, but look how you beat me, though.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I ain't get over that hump yet, but you ain't really beat me. That's what a roll-up kind of say and stuff. Like,
you won, but you didn't beat me.
Yeah, you didn't beat me. So I think that sets up for stuff going on down the road.
Yeah.
And definitely. Shit. Yeah. All right, your bad, sir.
My bad is the Nia Jax storyline. Not because I think that it's poorly written or anything like that. I just think it's kind of cliche. It's not bad in a sense of, and that's why I didn't make it my ugly. It's not bad in a sense of poorly executed either, because I kind of like, you know, how they easing into it and how they've told this story, slow pace, not all in one night. I just wish it was something different, because I feel like we've done this before with the whole, like, you know, skinny chick shame the fat girl type thing. You know what I mean? And yeah, maybe it's because I think Nia Jax is so fine that I'm like, none of this feels bad. Right. Why would you ever let her bother you? You bad as hell. Like, that's how I look at it.
I'll take you down right now.
Right. Like,
no questions asked. And so, I changed your whole damn life.
Right. Like,
he's so nasty that it's a life changer. It'd be like, he just fucked my whole head up. Like, I mean,
It's hard to let, it's hard to connect to it.
To the storyline, yeah.
But I do understand because, Trini, shout out Trini, iHeart Wrestling, brought up a good point that, you know, for girls who are fans of wrestling, and even younger girls who are fans of wrestling, this story is kind of, I'm not going to say that it's one that's going to change the world, but it's one of those stories where it's a feel good story. It gets Nia to be a babyface, it gets Alexa Bliss to be that, you know, the heel. And at the same time, as long as Nia Jax wins, it's that good story where it's like, you know, bullies don't ever win. And so it's a kind of cool thing because we know bullying exists. We know how it goes. We know body shaming is all around and it's unnecessary. So I get it. It's telling that story. I just wish for Nia it was different. It was more about like the beast per se Nia, or like, you know, I'm coming for you, Alexa, because you're in my way. Like, that's what I want. I know we'll eventually get it.
Yeah, because I would definitely, and maybe I'll change. Well, never mind. we're going, I don't want to hot tag this.
But give your piece.
Well, I'm going to give my piece. Yeah, I'm going to give my piece. Look, I just don't, it makes, like, I'm with you. It just makes me feel like, I don't like this storyline. But maybe that's for us. Because for other people, they may like this storyline. Because we already can predict and we already feel like the redemption is going to happen at the end, where Nia end up having a WrestleMania moment, winning the women's title at WrestleMania, which I've said maybe about a year ago that they're going to probably keep the title off of Nia until WrestleMania.
You did say
she can have a WrestleMania moment and stuff. But the story going with it, just not feeling it. But that's just because personally, I feel like Nia Jax is fine as shit. You know what I mean? She's my number two now, though, because I stumbled down Bianca Belair. You know,
Belair.
Sorry, Montez Ford, but she fine as shit. So I'm telling you right now, you know, if I ever run across her and she gave me her number and I end up at your crib, don't get mad. I'm just saying. but anyway, I just can't connect because, like I said, I think Nia Jax is fine. And so the storyline is just not good to me. Yeah. But for other people, it may be. But anyway, my bad. The confrontation between Roman Reigns and Vince McMahon. And the only reason why I like what they were planning to do, I think the execution wasn't there. Because I think Roman should have went to the back, not sitting there basically allowing Vince to be like, oh, well, no, I'm just go to my office. No, I think he should have forced Vince more than anything by really going off. I don't feel like he snapped enough to really be like warrant that suspension that he got.
Right.
I just feel like, oh, you know, he was a little insubordinate. Maybe you can write him up or something.
Right.
Yeah, but to go all the way to the suspension when, you know, technically he was making a point and he made a valid point.
Mm-hmm.
He was correct in everything he said. So then now you're going to suspend him? Like, no, I feel like it should have been something that he did that was a little bit over the top, but not too far. So then there's somewhere to go with it and everything. Yeah. But other than that, like, I mean,
I think the other thing is it's kind of hard to do that because they just kind of did it with Kevin Owens and didn't take it any further than where they took it.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, he doesn't have to attack him.
Oh, okay. I got you.
But,
okay.
Like, I mean, but if he grabbed him.
Right.
Or something like that. And, you know,
get your hands off me.
And have it pre-planned so then they can blank it out and have him cuss him out.
Yeah.
Like, this is, and then Vince is going off like, this is a PG show. This is a PG. Like, that would have been.
Yeah. Get in the back. Yeah, if they would have put more into it, yeah, I can see your point.
Yeah, I feel like the emotion wasn't there. I feel like they had a great plan, and I think what they're doing right now is the plan. It's a little, they're just deviating a little bit from what I had suggested, mm-hmm. but unless you know, they listen to the podcast and they still in my writing, I'm going to have to start coming after them. But I am interested. I do like where the story is going. Obviously, Brock just not showing up or Brock not wanting to have a face-to-face, because I think what should happen is Brock shows up and shit because Roman is suspended. Then they're like, are you going to give Roman his face-to-face and shit? And he says yes. And then
no shows
again. And like, that would just be such great writing. I don't want to see them face to face whatsoever until WrestleMania. That's when I want to see them face to face. That's when I want to see them both go at it. See, that's how you're going to sell me on a Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns match. Because I'm already just like, man, but damn. Like, the card looking like it's going to shape up to be pretty damn good.
Decent, yeah.
And stuff. A lot better than years past. Mm,
that's for sure.
But damn, like, I just see this match close it out. It's going to be one of those things where you're like, fuck, I don't want to see this match close it out. You know what I mean? Order for me to get, like, attached and wanting to see this match close it out, I think they're going to have to really pull me in with the storyline. In which, they slowly but surely doing.
They're trying.
Yeah. Anyway, you're ugly, sir.
My ugly is the John Cena challenge promo. And it's not because it wasn't a good promo. We already know he can, you know, be funny and entertaining and all that. My problem is, why does it take all that to get there? And maybe I'm being nitpicky. But it's like, it was anti-climactic. Right. It wasn't, I get the whole, I'm going to lose, and then get to, okay, fine. But his whole, I'm a host, or I'm going to be a spectator, and then, I'm going to be funny. Undertaker, I challenge The Undertaker. It was like, you could have just came out and been just as effective if you did what you said last and just walked the hell out. Mm-hmm. Because if he did that and that was all he said, to me, that links the storyline of how he was at the end of Fastlane with everything. Him coming out happy and all that kind of killed the ending to Fastlane for me. Because as Fastlane closed, I loved how he, like, shoved the camera out of his face and sat in the corner pissed off. And, you know, it was chaos. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn had some shit going on, and it was just all over the place. And I thought that was a dope effect to have AJ in the ring with the belt. John Cena, like, God damn it, what am I supposed to do? But then he comes out, and he's happy.
And he shouldn't have never issued that. Oh, well, I can get it to that later. Just now.
Well, was going to be my number one, number two. And he shouldn't have been the one to issue a challenge. It should be Undertaker coming out. Saying, like,
why you have to say that?
You're gonna elaborate. You're gonna be deeper than me. It's all good.
I wasn't gonna get Undertaker, that.
coming out and issuing a challenge, whether it be a career-ending match, you know, like career for career, whatever it was. That's how it should have been. But instead, he comes out happy, and then because it doesn't go with the storyline of he doesn't get to go to WrestleMania. All it says to me when he challenges Undertaker and Undertaker accepting is that John Cena gets what he wants by begging, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, the story didn't do anything. So you would have been much better off with him coming out either pissed off or in the same mood he was from losing on Fastlane and being like, you know what? My only hope is you motherfucker. And then, you know, go on that whole shoot promo he did. Like, I'm trying to provoke you, and then just walk the hell out. Like, things have to carry over a little bit better. So that was my pet peeve and my ugly.
You know what I would have did? Never mind. I'm going to get to that when I do my part. Obviously, my ugly is Braun Strowman. It's going to be my ugly for now. I know I said earlier in the show that I'm waiting for maybe Elias being a part of that whole situation where, because they kind of left themselves a loophole to where they can do something like that. But for now, as it stands, I'm going to have to say this is my ugly. Normally, this wouldn't happen. Because I would assume that this is what WWE is going to do and make me happy. But we already know that this isn't what WWE does. They don't do what you really want them to do. And so then you're not happy. And so I can very well see WWE taking Braun Strowman just because they have nothing else for him to do. And they really don't want to have a match with Braun Strowman and Elias when the tag team titles are still out there and they don't have any challengers. And now we need AOP to stay down in NXT because Bobby Fish is towards ACL. So, and like, so now they in this just rush to write a good storyline. So hopefully at the end, it does end up being, you know, you need a tag team partner, and then Elias end up being his tag team partner, and then they hate each other and shit like that, but obviously they win to overcome it. You know, those storylines always work. It's always entertaining. They work. You can almost not fail with it. So I'm interested to see if they actually do that. But for now, since they kind of really didn't even introduce that and didn't have Elias even come out at the end, after Braun wins or whatever, and act like he's going to attack him, and then pulls back and shit because he got the hurt neck or whatever. Just kind of planting those seeds. They really didn't do that, but doesn't mean that they're not going to do the right thing, and I hope they do. But for now, since they didn't do anything to plant those seeds and make me feel like that they're going to do the right thing, it has to be ugly. Because Braun Strowman, once again, he's just coming off a week where he's picking up cars and shit. So he's back to doing Monster Strowman shit. And then now he's taking out everybody in the tag team division. And nobody sat there and said, we should be able to actually eliminate this guy. He never won a Royal Rumble. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, he's winning shit? Nah, fuck that. Anyway, what's your book, sir? What are you gonna... Let's get to... what we call it again?
Armchair Booking.
Yes. I'm glad you reminded me. I'm glad you reminded me. Look, you actually came up with the name. I was just gonna call it Booking. Well, you said, no, we should call it Armchair Booking. And I said, hell yeah. I agree with it, and then can't even remember the damn name. Anyway. Let's get into this armchair booking segment. What would you change on Raw?
I mean, if I could have rebooked anything on Raw, aside from the Cena stuff, would be the Battle Royal. And the reason I would change that is because I think they needed to give us a little bit more. Because I'm all for cliffhangers and leaving questions. But sometimes when you leave too many questions, people get disinterested. Okay. And, like, maybe it's because I don't like being feeling like I'm left out, but, like, I feel like people are interested in a lot of stuff, but not interested in the whole Braun tag team battle royal thing, because you didn't have it come across like there were questions about who his partner was going to be. It was more like, what the hell's going on? And it's all about Braun. And what me and you alluded to is we think that Elias is going to end up being his partner somehow. Mm-hmm. And they'll do that whole thing. I would rebook it, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have Braun win it. What I would have done is I would have brought up AOP. Or I would have brought up... Because it's not like they haven't had people work NXT and... the main brand, because we saw Sami Zayn do it, Cesaro did it, Kevin Owens did it, you know what I mean? Finn Balor did it to an extent.
Yeah.
So I would have used this as an opportunity to bring up AOP or someone and then build a match between them. Mm-hmm. But when you build that match between the Bar and whomever, still what you could do underneath that is, yeah, AOP is part of the Dusty Rhodes tournament. Use that. Like, they're in the Dusty Rhodes tournament. Is this, you know, are the wear and tears are going to rear its head in this match? That type of thing. But to me, it's a better way to introduce a team than in a superstar shakeup and then, you know, the next week they debut. I would rather it be...
Yeah, because they never really do anything with those things.
Right.
They don't wrestle, they kind of show up. Jobbers,
you got it.
And then all of a sudden, they're not on TV anymore. And then, like, what the fuck happened? And then when they actually get back on TV, somebody get hurt. Then it's like, you know, it's just like because they drag it on for so long or whatever. I get you. But what I would have done, because you brought an idea in my head, what I would have done... was Braun was in trouble at the end of that Battle Royal match. Elias comes out realizing, man, you really ain't got no partner. You're about to lose. I'm going to come out here and help you. I still don't like you, but
I'm trying to get, this cash,
I'm trying to
baby.
Get titles. And I'm trying to get cash. And the way I can do that is with you. And I still don't, but I still don't fuck with you. And then in the middle of matches, he does things where he makes Braun wrestle the whole match. Doesn't even get in the ring. Braun goes for a tag. He's like, no, you got it. Like, man, this story could just really write itself, man. And I wish WWE would go with that. But now that I said it, it ain't gonna happen.
Never gonna happen.
Yeah. Me, I'm gonna rebook two things. One, obviously, John Cena's promo was not necessary. I think this was the week that they should have actually just had Undertaker debut or re-debut. And says John Cena ain't gotta worry no more about making it to WrestleMania because I want to challenge him in a career versus career match. Because if I can't beat him, then I don't still have that. You know what I mean? And let him, then that would have been it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That would have just been such a great way to actually get John Cena in there versus him still not getting in there by whatever means that he was trying to get in there. I mean, he wrestled and kept losing and kept losing and kept losing. Which is, by the way, you guys booked yourselves into this dilemma and shit. But then now you got him out there and now he's challenging Undertaker. And like you said, you're about to give him what he wants anyway and shit. Versus, like, no. If Undertaker wanted to wrestle you, then...
Right. To me, Undertaker wants to wrestle you. That's not him. That's more or less now you're getting what you asked for. Be careful right. What you ask for now because you might just get it type right. thing. Whereas he's just getting it. Like, that's just, you know, like, okay, unless somebody comes out and says, just because you challenge Undertaker doesn't mean you get a match.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, if somebody comes out and does that, that's different. But it just seems like, okay, well, I did all that just to get my match at WrestleMania. Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay. This is supposed to hype me up? I don't know.
You know what I mean? Because then Undertaker could have said, man, you could have challenged me from the beginning, but you were just too scared.
But you were too scared. I was here the whole time, bro.
Yeah.
You was trying to do other stuff. I was right here.
Yeah.
And that whole management said it's not going to happen. So then when he does show up and it does happen, all that sounds stupid. Like, mm-hmm. don't book goofy. Don't do too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I would just rebook. Simple. That's just a simple rebooking.
Yeah.
Right there. And with Nia.
A little racer.
With Nia, I would rebook that too, because I'm just not feeling the storyline. I think, honestly, they could have just went with Alexa just like, how the hell you supposed to be this beast, but you keep losing? Every big match you're in, you lose. Every match that you just were supposed to get you over the hump, you lose. And you're supposed to be this irresistible force. You're supposed to be this beast. And you're not. And then she gets pissed off and shit like that. And she tosses Alexa around or whatever. Or something like that. Or Alexa and Mickey James jump her. Leave her there. And shit. And then now Nia's pissed. Now she wants Alexa. And I can beat you and, you know, ride off into WrestleMania with that. And then have it that way. Yeah, I just not with the fat shame. Just, I don't know.
It's just a little extra.
Yeah, and, you know, especially when she's sexy as shit. Like,
that's the one thing. It's hard to feel bad for somebody who fine. Like, man, she ain't got no problems in real life. She fine. This is bullshit. I don't feel bad for her. Right.
Shit. Like, for real. But anyway, let's talk some wrestling real quick.
All right.
Oh, man. So, my thing is Ronda Rousey, the ratings every time she's on TV goes down. How are they going to try to get her over? Because if people are turning from the channel and shit, the ratings aren't as good as other parts of the hour when she's on and stuff like that. How are they going to end up getting fans behind her outside of just having a win all the time?
I think it's just going to take patience. It's one of those things. I think she has potential because she has a passion for it. A lot of times when, like, celebrity or the big-name people don't do well is because they're here for the check. And I don't get that from her. Like, all the stuff, unless she's a really good con artist, I get, you know, because I already knew she was a wrestling fan. So yeah. It feels like, authentically, she just wants to do well. She's at a disadvantage, per se, because she's put in this spotlight that I don't know that she's necessarily ready for. Because if you think about it, the people we enjoy watching, like Kairi Sane and you know, Bianca Blair and Belair, I'm sorry, and Shayna Baszler, they wouldn't do, I don't think they'd do great in the same role either. You see what I'm saying? Because it's a lot. It's a lot.
I think Kairi Sane can.
Yeah, because she's the stardom thing with her. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and she has the pedigree. She has it all.
So,
I mean, obviously she don't have the English down, but everything else she has. But much like
But you see what my point is, though, is that I think with time, it would have been it will be better. Mm. It's just gonna have to take time. So they can't look at the ratings thing and go, "Oh my God, ratings! Let's do this. Don't go into panic mode, people." Get attached to storylines over time. It takes time. I didn't wake up a Ric Flair fan. You feel what I'm saying? Like, over time, it was like, man, this dude is great. Or over time, I was like, man, Nia Jax, man. You know what I mean? So it's all about...
It did take a while for Nia Jax.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So as long as there's patience, it's eventually, as long as she keeps working hard, they don't force feed her, you know, to us, and there's patience, I think it's all going to work out for the better. But I understand why ratings go down. If you're watching a segment and you're like, it's rough.
And maybe that's what it is. The promos are.
Yeah, and sometimes the writing's not great, but she still goes out there and, you know, does it.
Yeah, and then one more thing, too. Like, I wonder how, because now you're talking about patience. Is WWE going to have to be patient with SmackDown now that... I think we all see the writing on the wall. Your two main champions are going to be, I mean, your two main people on the show are going to be the champions that are Japanese and can't speak English. Is WWE going to, do you think they're going to be able to be patient enough to ride that out? because they may lose some people because they're just like, you know, because you got the casual fan.
Yeah.
And then they turn on the TV. They want to hear somebody speaking, too, and stuff. They don't want to just hear somebody just, well, see somebody get in the ring and shit. They want to see the talking, too. But you're not going to get that with either one of them.
I think it's I don't know that they have to be patient, per se. I think it's more or less, it's a new front. It can be done. NXT was able to do it.
Oh, yeah, well, both of them.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it can work if you have them go against the right people. Because let's be honest. Shinsuke is not going to hold the title for 2 years. He's not going to hold it forever. We know they're probably going to give him a good, you know, 3 months, you know, or maybe, if we're lucky, maybe until SummerSlam. But I don't even know about that. And I think in place of, like, I feel like he's going to be the guy who gets us to watch, right? We're going to be watching because in the ring, it's nothing like Nakamura, right? And whoever it is that's going to eventually challenge is going to get built up, and there's going to be a little bit more focus on the U.S. title because, you know, you got Randy Orton who can be on. So I think where they'll plug in things is to kind of fill that talking void with other people and then leave it short and sweet with Nakamura as it is now until he gets more comfortable.
Well, I don't have nothing else to add to that. But, with that said, that's our show for today. Check out 1515 and all the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just type in 1515 and you can find the podcast, such as Equal Options, Lace Them Up, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Studio Flow, the MWT Podcast, and Mac and D Talk TV. And of course, you'll find the Wrestling Roundtable, which we'll also have the GTS and RBU podcast in there. If you want to just go straight to our podcast, you can just type in wrestling, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, roundtable, and you will find our podcast, like I said, GTS and RBU, along with our special event podcast. Also, click on the Amazon banner and buy something from the site. Go support the website. Got St. Patrick's Day coming up soon, so buy something green on there. I don't care.
buy something that's green. I don't care what it is. Just buy it.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be. With that said, it's me, Sterling Pearl.
It's Miller.
And we out.